Good evening. Anybody out there? Thank you, Miss Charlotte. One person is out there. I feel like I'm in school and I have to get the kids' attention. Okay. Anybody want to venture a guess? We've been, the Lord is my. That was last 2 weeks. We've done a bunch of other, the Lord is my. There's a big one we haven't covered, though. We covered that one. Yeah. There's a big list in 2 Samuel 22. So I'll have you turn to Psalm 27 for this one. Maybe this will ring a bell. Psalm 27, 1. Maybe somebody knows what that says without turning. It's in there, but we already covered that one. There's another one. That's a good, you're right. It's not just a guess. It's a good one. A strength. And that's actually mentioned in this passage, but there's another one in this verse. You see it? Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light. And I know that I've done messages about light before, and some of this will be things you probably heard, and that's okay. It's good to repeat. But specifically, the Lord is my light. We have not covered that. So we're going to do that one tonight. So I'm actually going to read a few verses here in Psalm 27. Let's read the first three or four, maybe more than that. We'll just see how this goes. Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? What's the answer to those questions, by the way? There's two questions in that verse. How would you answer those questions if the Lord is your light? Question number one, whom shall I fear? Nobody but the Lord. Second question, of whom shall I be afraid? Have no fear. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Verse 2, when the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me, to eat up my flesh. They stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Verse 5 is a good one. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. Amen. We could stay here tonight and just get a lot from five verses there. There's a lot of good stuff there. I do want to focus on verse 1. The Lord is my light, that particular phrase. And let me ask you a question. If you want to answer, you can. I will be honest and answer from my perspective. Was anybody here, when you were a kid, afraid of the dark? I will say yes to that. Now, I know I was a kid, and you get past that, and then I got to be a teenager, and I thought to myself, that was really foolish for me to be afraid of the dark. And now that I'm older, I think to myself, it is a good thing to be afraid of the dark. Now, I say that because you and I live in a dark world. And those of you who have been afraid of the dark, if you're in the dark and there's no light, it's really, really scary. Amen? In fact, when I was a kid, if there was a little light in my room, it made me feel so much better. Those little night lights that you plug in, I felt so much better. I say that because we live in a spiritually dark world with zero light unless the Lord is your light. So, just imagine. Now, I believe I'm talking to saved people, but imagine that you didn't know the Lord, so therefore you have no spiritual light. You are in complete darkness. If you're in complete darkness, you have good reason to be afraid, particularly if you start trying to walk around. Because what happens when you walk around in the dark? We're going to look at a verse that says this very thing. But what happens? You will fall. And I've been there, done that more than a couple of times. And I've actually been pretty seriously hurt one time from stumbling around in the dark. I want you to think about this whole message from a spiritual perspective. Spiritual darkness that our world is in. And you ought to think about two things tonight. Number one, those who you know that are not saved, they are in the dark. But number two, if you know Jesus Christ, you got the light. You got the light for yourself. And at the end of the message, I'll show you how if you have the light for yourself, you're not supposed to keep it to yourself. So I'll show you all the verses on this. So very simple three-point message. Number one, how is the Lord my light? Number one, God's Word is my light. And then number two, Jesus Christ specifically is my light. And isn't that interesting? God's Word, W-O-R-D. One of the many titles of Jesus Christ is the Word of God, capital W-O-R-D. And then I'll give you the last point when we get to it, because I'm going to tie the two together and apply it to us. So let's just bask in what we have if the Lord is your light. First of all, the Word of God being the light that we have, the source of light. Go over to 2 Samuel 22. This is the place we started this whole study. And there's a neat little verse in this chapter concerning the Lord and light. And while you're turning there, I will remind you of Genesis 1:3. I've said it. Other preachers in this pulpit have said it. The first recorded words in the Bible from the mouth of God Himself. Do you know what they are? Genesis 1:3. And God said, let there be. So right off the bat in your Bible, when God speaks, light is associated with it. Because when God said, let there be light, what happened? The Lord didn't need a switch, did He? Now, I got to stop on this for just a moment. This thing creeps me out, but Sherry and I were at a couple's house a few years ago, and they had, you have to help me out, what's the Amazon, Alexa? They had their house rigged up with Alexa. And they could say something and it would happen. They could say, Alexa, music, or something along those lines. And the music was play. And I suppose if they wanted to, they could have said, Alexa, light. They even could have set it up to say, let there be light. So you could do that. And the light comes on. You see how the world tries to rip off the Lord? This whole thing with voice control is nothing but trying to duplicate that which only God can do. If you speak and something happens, you can't do that by yourself. You needed some technology, right? But the Lord does not need the technology. It just happens. But notice how the world's always trying to mimic God. Y'all notice that? And technology's getting more scary where they're trying to do that. Who knows everything about you? Who knows everything there is to know about you and me? The Lord does. But did you know there's a source that pretty much knows all about you too? It's the World Wide Web. It's the Internet. It's Google. It's whitepages.com. Pick your website you want to go to. But isn't that something? Maybe there'll be a message come from this one day about technology doing nothing but trying to play the place of God and trying to replace God. Oh, that's right. Yeah. Now, the problem with technology, though, how do you get rid of technology? You turn off, you hit the off switch or you pull the plug, amen? Can you do that to the Lord? No, you can erase things online to some degree, but the Lord, He knows everything, and He only has the power to do those things that technology tries to duplicate. So anyway, 2 Samuel 22, verse 29. You know, this is David that wrote this. He says, for Thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. Now, do you think David knew a thing or two about darkness? He walked right through it. In fact, he's the one that wrote the verse under inspiration of God. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. He had some situations where he really thought, he actually says one time in his life, he says, there's but a step between me and death. David said that. And it was many, many years down the road before he actually died. But that's when he was running for Saul. Remember that? And he very well could have died, but he obviously did not. It wasn't time yet. Okay, go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. The Word of God specifically should be your light. Psalm 119. Aren't you glad that you got a book that explains why the world is a mess. It tells you all about it. I'll tell you, a good proof of the Bible being true is every time, and I'm not trying to be bleak and dark when I say this, but every time you drive by a cemetery has nothing but gravestones with dead people, correct? That is proof. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just telling you how it is. Bible. That is proof that people die, and then the Bible tells you why. Why do people die? The wages of sin is death. You know that science cannot explain why people die. Science will tell you, yeah, people die. They just get to a certain age and their body wears down. That's what they'll say. But they can't actually give you a good reason. And here's why. If you leave out the spiritual, you can't explain a lot of things that happen in our world, correct? A lot of things happening in our world right now that you see on the news have a spiritual influence that's making those things happen. So if you don't get in tune spiritually, you will miss out on so much. So I am so thankful that I know enough. There's a lot of Bible I don't know, but I know enough Bible to explain a lot of the nonsense going on in our world. Because are men by nature good or evil? Okay, the love of what is the root of all evil? Okay, and I've learned this here more in the last couple of years than I knew before. Follow the money. Where does the money lead? And you will find a trail of evil. And I could go on a tangent on that, but we'll save that for after church. We'll talk about that. It'll be a good after church discussion, which we've had before. But the Bible tells you why the world's a mess. You understand that if you don't have a good reason why the world is a mess, you will look at the world and say, the world's a mess, I'm a mess, and there's nothing I can do about it. And where does that lead you? That leads you to the depths of despair and depression. But if you know your Bible, you know the Lord, you have all the reasons why the world's a mess, why the world is in darkness, because they're without the Lord, and you know what's coming. And you know it's going to get worse before it gets better. Right? Rapture, it might get a lot worse before the rapture happens. But it's going to get even worse after the rapture happens. Tribulation, and then it gets a whole lot better because the Lord comes back here and establishes His kingdom for 1,000 years. So things are going to get better, but they're going to get worse first. Okay, go to Psalm 119. You're in 105. I should have told you here. This is a huge chapter, longest chapter in your Bible. Go to 105. A couple of neat verses about God's Word being our light in Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now, that's what the Bible says. You don't need to answer out loud. You can, I suppose, if you want. But can you say that verse on a personal level where you would say, God's word is really a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path? And did you notice there's an association there with the light being down by your feet and shining on the path, because you need to know what direction you're going, right? So I had a really neat experience here 3 weeks ago. I say neat. It was very frustrating, but looking back on it, it was really neat. I had a long story as to why I had to do this, but I had to paint a soccer field at our school. And I had to do it in the dark. Now, the field had been painted a few weeks earlier, so there were remnants of the previous paint. So, this is crazy. I go out there during the day, and I only had a few minutes to just look at it, and I knew I wasn't going to have time to do the whole job. I said, I'll look at it and see if I get in a pinch, and I have to do this in the dark if I can do it. So I go out there, and I think to myself, man, I can barely see any of the lines. So, here we are. It's at night. And I got to paint this thing. And I have to. I mean, if I get there the next morning, if you put the paint on the ground when it's wet, it doesn't always stay. You end up having to do it again, or at least a portion of it again. So I asked the Lord, I said, and I was mad that I had to do this at night. It was frustrating because I just didn't have time to do it during the day. All this other stuff happened. And I said, okay, Lord, I got to be able to see some, at least a little bit of these lines to see where I'm going. Here's the crazy thing. Outside on our field, we don't have lights specifically for the field. But there's a couple of light poles out there that just give a little smidget of light. And I am telling you that that night, that little bit of light hit portions of that field just right where I could see just enough of a remnant to see where to go. So I think the Lord allowed that to happen because he knew this message was coming. Had I not had any light at all, that was an impossible job. Impossible. I suppose I could have took my iPhone light out and tried to shine it there. And I actually had to do that along the way a little bit. But without the light that was already present on the field, I don't think I could have done what I did. So believe it or not, the field got done. Now, don't ask me if the lines were straight. But they were actually not terribly bad in most places. But interesting how just a little bit of light made all the difference. And the places where I did have to use my iPhone light, you know how the battery runs down fast if you're using the light? Have y'all noticed that on your phone? So that thing got down to 5%. I said, okay, Lord, I just need this little light along with the light I got for a few more minutes. And I think I ran that thing down to 1%. And it didn't go off. So all you need, I say that because just a little bit of light can actually give you enough to see what you need to see. Amen? Now, a lot of light is better. But if all you got's a little, that's better than none. You got any light? I hope you do. So go to Psalm 119, go to 130. You're just a few verses later. 119, 130. God's Word is your source of light, but you have to use it. God's not going to make you use it. You got to know that you need it because you're spiritually in a dark place and you need that light. So here we go. Verse 130. The entrance of thy words, what do they give you? Giveth light. And notice what's in the same verse. It giveth understanding unto the simple. God's words give you light and understanding, according to that verse. I need that. If you're honest, you need that, particularly in this world we live in. If you live in this world without God's word, without Jesus Christ, I understand why people are going crazy today and doing crazy things and are depressed. Y'all get that? Our world's a mess and people are depressed and people do crazy things. You know why? They don't have the right light source. Your Bible, God's Word, is the only true light source. Okay, how about go to Isaiah 8 and some neat passages. We could run verse after verse here tonight, but go to Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20. Neat verses here on God's Word being light. Now, this is actually a contrast. You'll see where if God's Word is not present, you'll see what happens. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20. It says, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light. Where does it say? In them. So a good question for all of us. Do you have light in you? Well, let's break this down. Do you have light in you? God's Word is the source of light. Is God's Word just automatically in you because you're saved? Y'all help me out. Is God's Word just automatically in you because you're saved? No. The verse we read before, the entrance of thy words giveth light. You have to make the decision, I am going to put the light in my body, in myself, in my life. And you do that by opening up the flashlight and putting it in you. A great place to read about God's Word being in you, John 15. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. That's a promise from the Lord Jesus Christ. Neat verse. I think that's verse 7 of John 15. But notice these folks in chapter 8 of Isaiah, they don't speak according to the word of God, and it's because they have no light. So I made a little note in my Bible. No word of God equals no light. Now here's something sad. We have churches today that do not have the word of God. Some of you have been in them, right? If there's no word of God in a church, what does that church not have? I don't care if they got the biggest light tower associated with their church outside. That church has no light. No word of God, no light. Have the fanciest light, laser light show all around the outside of the church or inside the church. And some of them have the laser light shows inside the church, don't they? They don't have God's word. They got no light. So isn't it something? It's almost like they know they got to make up for it, since they don't have the true light. Interesting. Okay, how about a New Testament verse on God's Word being light? Go to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter, Hebrews, James, and then 1 and 2 Peter. Go to 1 Peter. I'm sorry, 2 Peter. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1. Again, we haven't looked at verses that you've probably never seen before, but you put them all together and you start to build something that maybe you hadn't noticed before collectively. 2 Peter 1:19. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. Amen. Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed. Amen to that. Watch the next word. As unto a light. So God's word, which is a more sure word, compared to light. As unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. So you need the light of the Word of God so that you have a light shining in a dark place. So there's a few verses on God's Word being our source of light. That's point number one. Second point, God's Word, the Bible, is our light. Jesus Christ, who's one of His many titles, is the Word. Jesus Christ is, as a person, also the light. Not a light, the light. So you know these passages, but let's look at them. John chapter 1. I think the first few here are all in John. And if we have time, we'll go to 1 John. John chapter 1. We spent several weeks in this chapter. And man, it was a lot of fun. I love this chapter. John 1. Look at verse 1. John 1, 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. I'm in verse 4. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. I mentioned this in Sunday school a few weeks back. If you study plants, plants undergo a process whereby they give me and you oxygen, and they make their own food. And they also make food that when we partake of plants or food associated with plants, we actually eat that food as well. So plants give light through plants give oxygen through a process that requires light called photosynthesis. So what would happen? Consider this. What would happen if the entire world went dark? I don't know how long it would take. Maybe, Zane, you know. But let's say it went dark for a week. It may not take that long, but I know if it went dark for a week, what's going to happen? Temperature would go down. What else? Plants would die. And if plants die, guess what we can't do? Breathe or eat. Because plants provide the foundation for the entire food chain. Either everything you eat either comes directly from plants or animals that eat plants. So I'm guessing we would die of shortness of breath before we died of starvation in that case. But isn't that interesting that the whole process is driven by light? Therefore, if there is no light, ultimately there is no life. So now you understand. The Lord says, your Bible says about the Lord, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Those two go hand in hand, life and light. Keep going here, verse 5. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. I read that verse, and it's sad to me to read that verse. Because here's the Lord Jesus Christ in a spiritually dark world. He is the light of the world. I'll show you that verse in a minute. And the world does not comprehend who He is. And a verse later on here actually sheds some light, gives a good cross-reference for that verse. Look at verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light. Notice the capital L. That's Jesus Christ. That all men through Him might believe. He, John the Baptist, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. So, have anybody ask you, what about the heathen in Africa who've never heard the truth? You ever have anybody ask you that question? Do they go to heaven or go to hell? You ever heard that? What about the people in these faraway desert islands who never get the Bible? They never hear about Jesus. I know this. According to that verse, look at it. Jesus Christ, the true light which lighteth, next two words, every man that comes into the world. Now, I have been privileged, and I'm responsible because of this privilege. I have been privileged to receive a lot of spiritual light, and you being here tonight probably would testify to the same. You have been in places where you've had a lot of spiritual light. Thank God for that. Thank you, Lord. Even in these dark places, God, according to that verse, God gives every single person who comes into this world some measure of light. It's up to that person what they do with it. You probably have experienced this yourself. When you get the light, if you want more of the light, God will give you more of the light, won't He? And if you say, I don't want that light, God will say, okay, we'll give you more. So hopefully you are in a constant state of, Lord, give me more light. Because if you keep wanting more light, you keep believing what God said, God will give you more and more light about who He is and on His Word. So, neat verse there. Now look at verse 10. It's one of the saddest verses in the Bible. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. Here's the Creator of the universe on planet Earth in a human body, and the world does not know who He is. It's a sad verse. Look at verse 11. He came into His own, and how'd they treat Him? His own received Him not. Then verse 12 is a great promise for those who have received Him. As many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. I hope you can say that you are a son of God because you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. So I know I got sidetracked there, but some good verses there about Jesus Christ being the light. Go over to John 8. I got to show you this one. John chapter 8. You probably know it, but again, trying to build a bunch of verses together to put this thing together, stacking verses on top of each other so that you see the Bible is very clear on this teaching. And that should be anything that you study, any teaching. Be able to stack up the verses. Look at John 8:12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. Now watch this promise. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. There's that light-life connection. So if you want to have light on your path, you must follow the one who is the light. Amen? Think about this. Maybe a silly illustration, but if you need a flashlight because you're in a dark place, what good would it do for you to take that flashlight and turn it around and then go forward away from the light? It'd be a foolish thing, wouldn't it? You're still walking in darkness. The light is behind you. Where are you supposed to be in relation to where the light is according to that verse? Where's the light supposed to be? Out in front of you. That's why when you got a flashlight, you put it out in front because it shows you the path that's right in front of you. So consider, next time you turn the flashlight on, you're in a dark place, that flashlight lights that path in front so you can see very clearly where to go. Now, just like when you use a flashlight, unless you have one of those high-powered flashlights, you usually cannot see a long, long ways down the path, can you? Right? I know the flashlights I've owned, you can see maybe 10 or 20 feet, maybe. And then beyond that, it's still dark. That's a lot like the way the Lord is. He doesn't show you the path miles away, does He? He shows you the path right in front of you and says, trust me to walk on this path and keep walking. Just keep following. And think about it. If you did know what was way around this corner and that corner, you know what you might do? You might turn around and run the other way and say, I'll try to make my way through the darkness because I don't want to see what's up there. But you're okay. It'll be okay as long as the one who you're following is the light. Amen? So it'll be okay. You'll get on the other side of that thing, and the Lord will see you through it. Amen? So there's the Lord as the light. How about another one here? Go to John 9. John 9. You're in chapter 8. Just go one over chapter. John 9, 5. John 9, 5. It says over here, this is the chapter where the Lord heals the man blind from birth. And there's a lot of things here about sight versus being blind, and there's a spiritual application here. But look at verse 5. The Lord says, Jesus Christ says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So this is a good place to end this second point and quickly hit the last point. That verse says that the Lord Himself said, as long as He's here, He's the light of the world. Where is He right now? Where is the Lord Jesus Christ right now? He's seated at the right hand of the Father. And I know you can make a spiritual application and say Christ is in us. It's not really a spiritual application. It's the truth. It's what it says in over in Romans. Christ is in us. And I get that. But Jesus Christ, His body is now in heaven at the right hand of the Father. So that being the case, He's no longer physically in the world, is He? So how is the world going to get light if He's not here anymore? Here we go. Point number three. The saved are to bear witness of the light. Did you catch the verse in John 1? John the Baptist was one of the best at this. It said he came to bear witness of the light. He was not the light. He was sent to bear witness of the light. So as you turn over to Matthew 5, I'll tell you a real neat illustration with this. And I know you probably heard this before, but again, it bears repeating for the sake of just reinforcing and remembering. You go outside tonight. I know that I'll drive, Lord willing, I'll drive I-95 tonight, and there are lights along the way, but there's some spots where it's darker than others. So if I wanted to, I could go get off on 520. Y'all been out there 520 going west towards Orlando? You ever been on that road at night? It's dark. There's some light out there, and then you get to some patches where it's not well lit, if lit at all. Okay, so let's say you get out there tonight, and you get into a place, there's no street lights for quite some ways away, and you get out and you look up in the sky, and you only see one thing in the sky that gives you light. What is it? It's the moon. Now, growing up in Panhandle, Texas, little small towns, it's really neat to go out in the middle of nowhere. And actually, you could take a book out there with you, and you can read a book by moonlight. Now, it's not near as good as having sunlight, obviously, or even a flashlight. But if you had to read a book by moonlight on a night where there's a full moon, you could do it. I say that because the moon gives off a powerful light, right? But there's a problem with the moon. You know what the problem with the moon is? The moon doesn't always give off a lot of light, does it? You got the waning crescent, the waxing crescent. You got the full moon, the new moon. Sometimes it gives off a lot. Sometimes it gives off a little. It's very inconsistent, isn't it? And remember this. That moon has zero light of its own to give off. You know that? All it is doing is reflecting the light of... Now catch what you said there. That moon reflects the light of the sun, the S-U-N. But if you and I are going to bear witness of the light, Jesus Christ, the S-O-N, you and I are a lot like that moon, aren't we? We're not Him. We can't give off that magnitude of light that He gives off. But can you give off some light? Now, if you're like me, your light is inconsistent at times. You know what else is inconsistent at times? I look at that moon up there. I got this little thing on my watch and it tells me what phase of the moon is. And sometimes it's bright and shiny and other times it's not. And I think that speaks of how we have a tendency to be very inconsistent, give off a lot of light at times, other times not give off so much light. Now, don't ask me to answer the question as to why people go crazy when there's a full moon. There must be something spiritual to that. I don't know if anybody's got anything on that. But you would think that when there's a full moon, that's when people would actually have some sense, right? So there must be something spiritual there I'm missing, but we'll save that for another time. But we should be like that moon and give off the light regardless. Matthew 5, look at this, verse 14. Matthew 5, verse 14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Verse 16, good verse. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Hey, I'll tell you, a good mark of whether or not you're being the light for the Lord that you ought to be is that verse is the test there. Number one, do people see your good works? If you're living in the light of Jesus Christ, you're living in the light of the Word of God, people should see your good works, but it shouldn't stop there. They should see that your good works are the result of who? Jesus Christ. What's the rest of the verse say? that they may glorify, see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So it's one thing for people to say to you, hey, I see what you're doing there, that's great. It's a completely another thing for people to say to you, the Lord is really using you. And that's what you should prefer, is that the Lord really use you. And you do right, you trust God, you live in the light, you walk in the light, and you let God sort out the rest so that He gets the glory out of that. Not so you get glory, because it says there that He should get glory. Okay, how about one more verse? Philippians 2. Philippians chapter 2, I'll end here. The saved are to be the light. We are to bear witness of the light of Jesus Christ. We are to bear witness of the light of God's Word. Philippians chapter 2. Galatians, Ephesians, and then Philippians, right before Colossians. Go down there to verse 15. Talking to the saved here, he says, actually, let's read verse 14. It's a good one to go along with 15. Verse 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Now that's written in the first century, and Paul lived in a crooked and perverse nation. And I have a feeling that the Lord knew we would be reading this one day, and we would be living in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Hey, instead of groaning about our crooked and perverse nation, what are we supposed to do? It says we are to shine as lights in the world. So two things here. Number one, you won't be a light for Jesus Christ unless you first know Him as your Savior and the Lord is your light. Good evidence that the Lord is your light is whether or not you're putting the light in and you're walking with the light lighting your path, the light of God's Word shedding the light on your path. So, some good stuff there about the Lord is my light. I hope you learned something from that. I hope you can take something and apply from that. How will the world get out of the darkness that they currently live in unless the saved truly do shine the light of Jesus Christ? And the answer to that question is the lost are not going to ever get out of the darkness if the saved do not shine the light of Jesus Christ. So, as you go out of here, it's dark out there, but you don't have to walk in the darkness. You can walk in the light. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That's 1 John 1. That's your homework. Read 1 John 1. There's more about Jesus Christ being the light over there in that passage. We didn't have time for that one tonight. All right, let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for just once again, time after time, we come here and we hear Your Word, which is just a great, bright, and shining light to reveal what this world is all about, why this world is in the condition it's in. And I pray that we would not be apt to complain about our world, but instead realize that You left us here to be a bright and shining light to this dark world. And we know that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness and rulers of the darkness of this world. And I pray that we'd be faithful to fight that battle this week. Pray that we'd be faithful to take the sword of the Spirit to be our light along the way, and that we would just be faithful with Your Word and giving it out and being the light that You put us here to be. I pray for opportunities tonight, the rest of this week, for us to truly shine the light on this, on light of Jesus Christ, for the sake of this world, seeing who You really are, Lord. And we ask all this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.